our family. We are here at the beach. People all over the world are broken. I'm broken, all of us are broken. And the answer to every aspect and variation of brokenness is Jesus Christ. So we want to talk to people to find out how they're broken and how the gospel can answer their questions. So let's go. So if you go to court, right?
Yeah.
And someone's accused of killing somebody, mm-hmm. and nobody's seen it. Yeah. Does that mean they can never convict them, or they can get other evidence?
Like, it depends if they got, like, fingerprints on the gun.
So here's my question. Yeah. Does the evidence that there's an ocean, a sun, sky, that we can breathe air, does that evidence tell us somebody made this so we can live here?
In my belief, I feel like yes.
And who was that?
Jesus.
We don't know what actually, like, made us. What if it was just, like, another being that put us down here, and we were just like, you know, like we developed.
Now, hold on a second, does that make sense to you? Did you follow that?
Nah, I lost track of what you say.
I mean, sometimes you can make stuff up and then you think, okay, is there any evidence to that?
Yeah, there's no evidence. Okay, so we don't know. We don't know the truth, but the real truth.
But here's what we do have evidence. Every person, all these people out here have a brain. All these people out here have a stomach and a heart, and they can breathe and they can talk and walk for the most part, mm-hmm. okay? So we have evidence that humans are very complex and they're all over the world. So we look at that evidence, we think, somebody did something all around the world. You could breathe in Italy, you could breathe in the Philippines, you could breathe in Singapore, you could drink the water there, there's food there. So all the evidence says is something consistent happened around the world, right? That's the evidence we have. Right? Make sense? I
mean, doesn't oxygen come from, like, trees?
Yep. Right? And you know where most of the oxygen comes from? The ocean. There's plants in the water.
Yeah.
Ain't that a trip? Do you know where the clouds come from? That water being evaporated going into the sky.
Yeah.
And then it takes the salt out of the water and rains on us. Hey, what's up, family? Hopefully you realize the gospel is powerful. God is working in people's lives. Some know God, some don't know God, but at the end of the day, God wins. At the end of the day, His knowledge, His word is supreme and is the foundation of all truth. So let's take God's love to a broken world. Don't be scared to engage in conversation. What's up, family? Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, church. Let's go. We got Sunday. Can I have all y'all stand up? Y'all ready for it? Y'all ready to be challenged today? Gonna make you think. Say, I want to think. I want to think. Raise your hand up in the sky. Take a deep breath. Hold it. Okay, we're gonna take three deep breaths, okay, before we exhale. One, two, three, four. One more time. One, two, three. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for this moment, these next few moments that you're going to speak to us. I pray you encourage the discouraged, give sight to the blind, heal the brokenhearted. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Amen. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. If you are a visitor, my name is Miles. Welcome to The Rock. We are one church in many locations. We have five here in San Diego, one in Oahu. Our mission is to make disciples who know God, grow in community, make a difference. And we're glad you're here. We have 25 years old. So we're actually 25 and a half years old. So, amen. If you were accused of a crime and arrested, and you had to go to court, you would hire an attorney or attorneys to prove your innocence. And you would have your attorneys gather evidence to show that you most likely did not commit the crime. And their job is to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. Everyone say beyond a reasonable doubt? That you didn't do it. And so they're looking for the truth, and truth is that which pertains to reality. We're gonna do a whole series in a couple months on truth and logic, so we understand what truth is, because a lot of people think they know truth or have their own truth, but your own truth may not be the truth. So we're gonna talk about that later. So the attorney's job is to gather evidence. Now there's two main ways you gather evidence for proof, is a scientific method. Everyone say scientific. And the scientific method is based on, is direct evidence based on observation and a repeatable test of something. In other words, for you to prove something scientifically, you have to see it happen. In order for you to prove something scientifically, you have to see it happen. It's direct evidence that is observable and repeatable. Now, when we talk about, in the future months, we're gonna talk about evolution, we're gonna talk about creation, we're gonna talk about the flood and all the things happened in the past, and that are scientific, a lot of those claims are based on things that people have never seen. So therefore, you can't say it was proven scientifically. You can prove things other ways, but when you say something, science proves it, for science to prove it, you have to see it. And some of the things that you're told science proves has not been seen. So that's one way of scientific evidence. And by the way, you do it all the time. You perform scientific evidence all the time, scientific experiments. For example, I'm from New York, as most of you know, and we have the best food in the world. Can I get an amen? No, thank you, okay. Y'all supposed to defend California. What's up with y'all? Anyway, one of the things we have that's really good is Italian food. Come on, somebody. Pizza. Y'all pizza is whack compared to New York pizza. And if someone tells me, hey, Miles, there's this good Italian restaurant, I'm like, First thing, how big are the meatballs? Because back east, we make meatballs like this. Y'all got these little tiny pea-sized meatballs, okay? But if I go, I'm suspicious, right? So I go and I'll taste it, and you've been there. Someone told you, go to this restaurant, go to this sushi restaurant, go to this coffee place, whatever it is, and you go and you test it. You are performing a scientific experiment. And then if you like it, whether you like it or not, you may go back a second time to affirm what you learned the first time. That is exactly what science is. Or all the ladies in the house say, hey. If you're in grocery store shopping, you got curlers in your hair, looking a hot mess, in your robe and slippers, and you meet this guy. You're single, hypothetically. Well, some of y'all are single, but I'm just saying, all of y'all were single at some point. My granddaughter's two, right? She's like my heart, and she was, my wife gave her, well, she grabbed this little remote, it's like this big, of something, that electronic thing, and she's walking around the house talking. I said, Jordan, who are you talking to? My people. She's two. And then he said, who are you talking to? Then she says, my guy. Oh, no. Anyway, you meet this guy in a grocery store, and he's nice to you, okay? Then you go home and call your girls. Oh, I was looking at a hot mess, but I met this guy, da-da-da-da, and I gave him my number. Don't do that. And then, but we're going to meet again. When you meet him again, the first thing you're going to be saying, is he nice like the first time? That's an experiment. That's a scientific experiment through repetition. So that's one way of finding out information. The other way of finding out information is the legal or historical method, where you need an eyewitness, documentary evidence, physical evidence from the past. Now, here's why this is important. When people say the Bible says or the Bible doesn't say, you don't have to just believe it or not believe it just because someone told you. You go through the legal method and you get evidence from the past to find out is this true. This is so important because if you come to church and I say something, the Bible said this, the Bible said that. Now, you can believe it and I'm doing my best to give you the truth, but I would encourage you to go look it up. So when I talk about evolution, some of y'all believe in evolution, we're gonna talk about that. When I talk about the flood, I wanna talk about dinosaurs and all the things we're gonna talk about, that I'm gonna give you the evidence that I have, at least some of it, we don't have time to give all of it, and then you have to make a decision, what's most probable? Beyond a reasonable doubt doesn't mean you have 100% proof. We don't have 100% proof. Like, my wife and I have been married for 41 years. Is there 100% proof? All right, thank you, all right, go ahead. 100% proof. Now, am I going to divorce my wife? Nope. She going to divorce me? Nope. But is it 100% proof? I mean, we would hope so. But even something simple as that, is 100% proof you're going to live tomorrow? There's 100% proof you're going to make it till you get home tonight. There's not what's most probable when you get in your car. Is there 100% proof you're not going to get in a car accident? No. But what's most probable is you won't, so you get in a car. So when someone says, prove God, prove Jesus, prove the Bible, what you should say is, I'm going to give you evidence that what's most probable. Matter of fact, court cases, or most court cases, are settled on circumstantial evidence, not 100% proof. The jury just needs, beyond a reasonable doubt. I think as a jurist that it's most probable and most reasonable that they didn't commit the crime. That's how the decisions are made. So when we talk about all the things we're going to talk about, you have to understand that you have to go to evidence and what's most probable based on the evidence. Now, when you read the Bible and you look at your life and you look at other people's lives, what's most probable is that everybody's going to die. What's most probable is that there's a God in heaven that answers prayer. Can I get an amen? And what's most probable is that he loves you. And so if you go based on that, it's 100% that it's most probable that he's faithful. And so what we're going to look at today is what is most probable, that Jesus rose from the dead or didn't, based on the evidence. Now, every time you go through an exercise like this, you are using logic and reason. Everyone say logic.
Logic.
Say reason. Logic is the right or guidelines to rational thought. There are laws and guidelines on how to think and how to think rationally. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you're like, huh? Hey, they were saying things that didn't make sense, that they weren't connected. And you know why? Because there are guidelines to how our brain understands logic that God gave us. And when those guidelines are broken, it doesn't make sense to us. So we're going to talk about what are the guidelines of logical thought. And we're also going to talk about reasoning. Reasoning is the activity of understanding something. You are reasoning right now. Is this guy making sense? Is this guy believing what he's saying? Great, that's what you're supposed to do. And when you read the Bible, you need to be thinking, what is this? Who are the characters? What's going on here? So you can understand it. God gave you that ability. He does not want you to be a robot that just says, I'm just going to believe it because. Because he's given us too much evidence that we can rely on that is true. And so as we go through this series, we're going to talk about all kinds of topics, but the foundation is logic, reason, and understand the evidence. Now, we're going to look at the resurrection today, and we're going to look at five standards of the legal process. Why? Because we can't do a scientific experiment on Jesus' resurrection, because we would have to see it happen. But we're going to look at the evidence in the past. And why is this important? Well, the Bible says that if Christ is not risen from the dead, we are still in our sin. We're not forgiven. If Christ has not risen from the dead, our faith, our Christianity is fake. We're wasting our time. You need to understand this. I'm telling you that all of Christianity is based on that one event, Jesus rising from the dead. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I will tell you, never come back to church again. Don't read the Bible. Don't pray. It's all fake. So it all is resting on that one thing. The Bible says that. And so we're going to look at the evidence and see if that makes sense. Now, while I'm going through this, you don't necessarily have to remember all these steps, even though you can learn them, great. But whenever someone asks you to prove something about God, you want to say, let's look at the evidence and see what is most probable. If someone says, hey, prove Jesus, you should say to them, prove that you love your mother. Show me your proof. Show it to me. And what they would do is they would say, well, I did these things. They would give you evidence from the past. And so but you can't see the love. You can't see the evidence. You can't see it. You can't do a scientific evidence to see it. So let's look at the evidence. Number one in the process is reasonable suspicion. If you are committed a crime, they would say, is there reasonable suspicion that you did that? Is there reasonable suspicion that Jesus rose from the dead? Is there reason to investigate the resurrection at all? And I would say yes, because there's over a billion people that who have their lives transformed. Today, there's over a billion people now walking whose lives are transformed. Today, I think that's reasonable suspicion. What happened to those people? When I was, right before I got saved, I was watching people who walk with God, and I saw their life, and I was like, what is that? I want that. Now, there may be a lot of y'all in here, some of y'all in here, or other campuses, your life is just as messed up today as it was before you got saved, or before you say you got saved. I say saved because you might not have got saved. You might have just prayed a prayer and just went about your business. Oh, God's gonna just take me to heaven, so I'm just gonna say this prayer and go about my business. That's not being saved. Being saved is actually, when I say, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, it's actually not words only, it's a commitment of the heart. And then it's a commitment of your life. But let's hypothetically, you got saved, and then you don't change. You're messing up the story. You are actually being a bad witness and convincing people, oh, Christianity is not true. But this says over a billion people, says lives have been changed. So people go, what is that? You want to make sure that you are part of the solution, that your life is actually positive, that people look at your life and say, huh, something good about them. Because some of y'all, if you told your coworkers that you were a Christian, they'd be like, huh, you? They may even see you walking into one of our campuses going, you go to church? You don't want to be that guy or be that girl. Can I get an amen? John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, this is the devil, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life that you may have it more abundantly. How many of y'all want abundant life? Well, he wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to you. But in order for him to give it to you, you have to let go of something, which is your whole life. You gotta say, God, I want your abundant life. Take my crappy life. That's the only way it happens. You can't hold on to your crappy life and get abundant life at the same time. You can't be mad and happy at the same time. You can't have opposing emotions at the same time. It's one or the other. So is there reasonable suspicion that something supernatural happened 2,000 years ago? And I would say yes, because of all these changed people. Can I get an amen? Number two, is there probable cause? Is there reason to believe that a crime or a miracle has occurred? And I would say yes, because the tomb is empty. This is, oh man, you're talking about evidence. The tomb is empty. Come on, somebody. I accepted Christ. He rose from the dead. Yeah, okay. The tomb is empty. Okay, we gotta take note. That's important. By the way, if you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, and we're telling you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through him, and he rose from the dead, and the Bible says that the Father judges no one but has committed all judgment to the Son, that we may all honor the Son as we honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son, Jesus, does not honor the Father who sent him. So if we're telling you that, and we're in the process of proving to you that it is most probable that he did rise from the dead and he's coming back to judge, as I'm going through this, I want you to think about your life and that you don't want to leave church today not having given your life to him, because you will have to face him one day. You're going to die. That's what we know for 100% is true. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. Well, the scientific evidence that that's true is that 100% of people are sinners. Can I get an amen? No one's perfect except Jesus. And 100% of people die. And the only reason Jesus died is because of our sin, because he had no sin. But the only thing that could kill him was sin, and he died. But then he rose from the dead. So as we go through this, when you think about your life, if Jesus rose from the dead, he's coming back, and the Bible says every knee will bow. And by the way, when the Bible says every knee will bow, it doesn't mean this. It means every knee, this one too. And you're gonna say, Jesus is Lord. You're either gonna say, my Lord, or you're gonna say, oh snap, he's Lord. One of those two ways are gonna come out of your mouth. And so as we're going through this, you have to think about your life and the fact that God is telling you, hey, I rose from the dead and I'm coming back. And when I come back, I ain't coming back to play. I'm coming back to judge. So you wanna get your life right with him. So is there probable cause? The tomb is empty, Mark 16:6. He said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Let me show you the place where they laid him. He's not here. Proof. The angel knew. Let me show you evidence. I'm not telling you something happened over there. There are prophets. Muhammad's one of them, Joseph Smith and the Mormons, that they had this secret knowledge that no one else saw. And they just, everyone else believed it. But in the Bible, all these people saw this stuff. It wasn't some private thing. And the angel said, hey, come see where he lay and go tell the disciples. Go tell everybody. And so is there reasonable suspicion? People are changed. Is there probable cause? The tomb is empty. Third, is there preponderance of evidence? Like, is there more evidence that supports that he died, rose from the dead than the evidence that he didn't rise from the dead? And by the way, anytime you have any claim, there's always going to be people who naysay it. Oh, it's not true. Anybody can say that. So don't, and by the way, you may hear all scientists believe in this. That's not true. Whatever this is, all scientists don't believe in a whole lot. There's groups of scientists that believe in this, and there's groups of scientists that believe opposite. You got to take the evidence and say what's most. And I will tell you, there's a whole bunch of scientists that will tell you about evolution is true, and there's a whole bunch of scientists that will tell you it's not. So you just got to get the evidence and make a decision for yourself. And so when you hear people say that, say, show me the evidence. And think. You got a reason. God gave you a brain. He doesn't want you to believe by blind faith. He wants you to believe based on the evidence. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Even faith is based on the Bible, on fact. So you don't just want to believe. So is there a preponderance of evidence? One, over 500 people saw Jesus at one time. 500. Look what it says. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and then he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And by the way, according to the scriptures means according to what the Old Testament even said. Oh, well, God told us in advance. And then it says he was seen by Cephas, by the 12, and he was also seen by 500 people at one time, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some have fallen asleep. In other words, 500 people saw him at one time, and guess what? They're still alive, so you can go ask them. That's what's so amazing about the Bible. When it was written, people were still alive that they can refute it. You can go to the tomb and say, there he is. So it wasn't like anything was done in the secret. If you follow a lot of cults out there and study a lot of cults, it's always one guy or one woman that got this secret information, and they tell these people, and the people believe them, but they never show them the information. Christianity, it's all out there. Read the whole thing. You got 66 books, 1,189 chapters. Go ahead and read it. And you have all these people who wrote, they were eyewitnesses, and they wrote it and talked about it while the people involved in what they were writing about were alive. So they can go check it out. Anybody, even to this day, can walk to the tomb, but especially then, because they knew where the tomb was, and say, he's not risen, he's dead, he's still right there. They couldn't do it. It says, changed lives, another preponderance of evidence. Cowardly disciples became bold martyrs. When Jesus was killed, the disciples ran and hid. And all of a sudden now, they are dying for their faith. Every single one of them was killed. And all they had to do was say, Jesus is not real, but they saw him. Who dies for a lie? Nobody. Nobody. Think of how fast you'll squeal on your friend if you think you're gonna lose your job. You squeal at him. Forget losing your job, just someone doesn't like you. I don't want that. Here's what they did. Let me show you the video. These guys were killed. They were filleted, their skin was cut off. They were crucified upside down. They had their head cut off. And the only one of them didn't die as a martyr, and it was John. And the reason being, they put him in a vat of boiling oil to kill him, and he didn't die. I'm like, all right, we can't mess with this brother. And he got out. I don't know. I would love to have seen that. But he got out. I don't know what he looked like, but he got out of oil, and they said, we can't, double jeopardy, we can't kill you. We're just going to exile you. And he didn't die. But they tried to kill him. Who dies for a lie? Nobody. Women as first witnesses, unlikely fabrication in a male-dominated culture. In Jesus' day, not today, a woman's testimony was not allowable in court. So why would you say a woman was the first person to see Jesus? We don't even take women's testimony. Because it was true. A lot of times you read stuff in the Bible, you're like, how did they do that? Why would they put that in the Bible? Because it's true. They put people's sins in the Bible. Godly men and women who did wrong things. Why? Because it was true. Just what's true. Doesn't make it right, but it's like, here's what happened. Why? Because everybody's faulty. None of us are perfect. Enemy confirmation. The guards were bribed to tell a lie and cover it up. Why? They were paid to say they fell asleep. These guards guarded the tomb with their life. If they failed in their duty, they would be killed. And they were paid to say, just listen, this is a big deal that he's gone. We don't want to say he rose from the dead. You just say you fell asleep and they stole the body. So there's more evidence that this happened. Fourth, is there clear and convincing evidence that is highly probable and persuasive? Well, is there physical, archaeological evidence? In Jewish law, you cannot touch a dead body, or you can't go to synagogue until you got purified, and if you never got purified, you'll be excommunicated. Jews did not touch dead bodies. Now, the claim is that the disciples stole the body. Okay, whatever. They had a law. You can't touch it. Roman law said you can't mess with a grave. Usually they would rob graves and all the goods out of the graves, and if you tampered with a grave, you could be killed. So the Romans didn't steal the body. And then there was a thing called the Nazareth inscription, which was actually discovered in the 1800s, and it was an edict that you couldn't steal bodies from the grave. In the first century, they wrote this, and people believe it was because they thought Jesus' body was stolen. So you have evidence of archaeological evidence, historical evidence, that something happened. And then finally you have the Gospels themselves. Luke chapter 1, verse 3-4. It seemed good to me to write also, having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. The four gospel writers were witnesses of these things, and they wrote to people who were witnesses of these things, when these people obviously were alive, about the things that have happened that they all heard about as they were happening. This is not a secret. It's not like someone came and said, oh, you know, 97,000 years after 9/11. No, they were written. 9/11 was written about when people who saw 9/11 happen, they wrote it then. So it wasn't like a mystery. It wasn't like someone was trying to trick anybody. And he's saying, Luke here is a doctor saying, I'm trying to write this so orderly because I saw it and I want you to understand it. This is evidence for our faith to be on a rock. And lastly, this is my favorite, there are no credible alternative theories. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. One is the swoon theory. The swoon theory is that Jesus, they're all kind of funny. Jesus went into a coma, he didn't die. You may hear that. Oh, Jesus went into a coma. You're like, yeah, maybe that happened. Okay, fool, let's think about this. Educated people come up with this stuff. The Romans were experts in torturing people and killing people. That's what one of the things they were known for. So when they crucified Jesus, they tore his clothes off, stuck two thorns in his head. He was up all night, beat him with rods, and then they whipped his back with a leather strap what's called a cat of nine tails. And it had nine straps off the main strap with metal hooks on it. And they would whip you 40 times with a death penalty. He got whipped 39 times. Death penalty. And it would reach into your body and rip bone and muscle off. He got whipped 39 times. Then he carried his cross up the hill. Most people would die then. They nailed it to the cross. He hung for 6 hours. They stuck a spear in his side. Blood and water came out, which means his heart was so stressed. The red blood cells and the white blood cells separated and it came out. And they're gonna say that they took him down, but he wasn't dead yet. Then, all of a sudden, they put him in a tomb, big old gigantic multi-ton rock, 12 Roman soldiers who were the most trained fighting soldiers in the world at the time in front of the tomb. This man who was beat and flogged wakes up out of his coma, pushes the stone over, overpowers the guards. They want you to believe that. That's cray-cray. Everyone say cray-cray. That didn't happen. Or they say, the Jews stole the body. Again, big stone, Roman soldiers, and these little Jewish fishermen with their fishing pole came, got the Roman soldiers, threw the net over them, took the body. Oh, brother, please. And lastly, this is comical. I'm telling you, once you investigate some of the stuff that people tell you, I'm telling you, some of the stuff we're going to talk about, you're going to be like, that's what that is? And they're lying to all of us. They're lying to the kids in schools about where they come from. And that all y'all came from some animal? No, God made you in his image. Don't let people insult you. God made you in his image for a reason, period. And if I could convince you that you came from an animal, that you are just you're just the result of some random thing, then how can you even believe you're mine if it's a result of randomness? It's an insult. But this is the kind of nonsense people come up with. The last one is mass hallucination. That all these people hallucinate the same thing at the same time. That doesn't happen. People don't mass hallucinate. It's not even a real theory. So the theories against Jesus' resurrection, there are none. But the fact, all the facts that say he rose, it's overwhelming. So here's my last point. Beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the highest legal standard. That's the standard. Can a jury hearing this information go, he rose or he didn't rise? And it's up to you to decide. What is your reason not to believe? Because you have zero evidence to the opposite. And if you really want to have the best evidence, go to Israel and look in the tomb. That's the best evidence. It's empty. It's been empty for 2,000 years. Now, if Jesus rose from the dead, that means everything else he said is true. That he is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody. Everyone say nobody. Nobody. Comes to the Father except through him. What about my uncle? Nobody. What about my auntie? Nobody. What about my grandma? Grandma better get saved. I led both my grandmothers and my grandfather to the Lord. My other grandfather was dead, and my grandfather was on his deathbed. Literally, he died like a month later. He had cancer. He was 81 years old, and he was my hero even to this day. And I said, Grandpa, you got to get saved. You're going to go to hell. And I said, Grandpa, I led Grandma to the Lord. You want to see her again? I mean, I was pulling everything. I was getting to that brother. I said, look, and he got saved. But why am I going to be like, oh, I don't want to upset my grandpa? He's going to die. And this is true. And so here you are sitting here. You have to ask yourself, is it true? You have no evidence. What's your evidence to the opposite? What is most probable? What is most probable is that he rose from the dead. And what is most probable is that the gospel is true and that I need to give my life to him. So in a minute, we're going to pray. You're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. This knee and this knee are going to bow and acknowledge that you are Christ. Some of y'all have never done that. Today's your day. Now, there are some of you in here, you've done that, and you walked away, and you kind of take, you play God every day. Oh, he'll just take care of me. No, he won't. Don't be a fool. God is loving, he's patient, but he ain't a sucker. He's not a sucker. And besides that, he wants to bless you beyond what you could. My wife and I, we would not be together if it wasn't for Jesus. Matter of fact, we met and dated for 4 years, and we were broke up. Broke up, I don't know, 100 times? Some. She's over there, I don't know, you an idiot. That's all I know. Thank God she patiently waited. But the only reason we got back together is I gave my life to Jesus Christ. April 12, 1984, I said, I'm not getting high no more, and I called her up, and boom. She came running back. I knew you were changed. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, so many times we listen to nonsense. We need to ask, where'd you get that information? And as we go down this road to get evidence that the Bible story is the most probable, reliable, dependable story there is, and it is worth giving our life to. And if you have come to that conclusion today, that Jesus, yes, he did rise from the dead, and I need to give my life to him. I need to recommit my life to him. I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I need you. I believe you died, and I believe you rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. I want to be with you in paradise. I thank you that you don't need money. You don't need me to have an education. You don't need me to shave my head. You don't need me to change anything to accept you. But you will make the changes in due time, according to your love and mercy. So please forgive me. I surrender my life to you. I want to be all in and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are doing what Jesus did. You are rising from the dead. You are going to walk away from your old life into a new life. Is it scary? Oh, it's exciting. So on the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand up. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Now we're going to ask all those people who are standing in a minute, we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, just turn around and welcome. The ushers will bring you down. Come on down to the altar. Come out of your seat. Let's give them a hand. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. God bless you. God bless you. Just face me. Just right there. God bless you. Come on, church. Let's give them a hand. Come on. Come on. How are you? How are you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. What's up, brother? What's up? How you doing? What's up, man? How you doing? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, oh. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, come on, come on, church. Come on, church. Give me a big hand. Come on, come on, come on, come on. God bless you. 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 All right. God bless you. God bless you. I wish y'all can see what I see. I see a bunch of faces down here that some crying, some excited, smiling. God's gonna do a thing in your life. Come on now, come on now, come on now, come on now. God bless you, God bless you. Hey, little girl, how are you? I went to Legoland with my grandson, and I said, I like roller coasters. If y'all can just not leave yet, we're not done with our service. I like roller coasters, and I took my grandson on the roller coaster. Like for 2 hours, he wouldn't go on it. He's like, I'm gonna grab you. I said, come on, where you gonna go on? And so we get in line, he's all scared, and literally we're in the front seat. And you know how the roller coasters go click, 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 and then they stop, and then they go up. And right before it went up, he's like, he was freaking out. And I was like, MJ, it's gonna be awesome. We went on that thing like 10 times. Because after he realized what he was scared of was actually just the most exciting thing. And then we went to SeaWorld, same thing. We're going to go into Eel where it goes upside down. And we're in line, get ready to get on. He goes, Grampy, I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, there's people behind us. We're getting on. We went on that bad boy like 9 times. This is I know it's scary, but the one person that loves you more than anybody you've ever known and more than everybody you've ever known combined is God. Because nobody you know would die for you like that. And so it's really, you just got to trust him. If you trust him and do what he says, the key word, loving God means to do what God says. It's that simple. Loving God means to do what God says. The reason your parents got mad at you when you were a kid, like all of us, is because we didn't do what they said. Simple. The definition of loving God is obeying God. The definition of loving God is obeying God in every area of your life. You do that, you'll be blessed. You don't do that, then you got to deal with the consequences. Lord, I just pray for all these people. I pray you bless them. I pray that they trust you. And I pray for everybody in their seats that they bring somebody next week as we continue this series. Learn how to defend our faith. Learning that beyond a reasonable doubt, the Bible is true. And everything against it is wrong. And we are going to learn why. In Jesus' name, amen.